This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We are live outside of the left field gate at T-Mobile Park as the Mariners getting set for their 2023 season debut, game number one, happening tonight against the Cleveland Guardians, who are in town for a four-game series. And people are getting excited, Dave. They're lining up out here, big crowd waiting to get inside the stadium and celebrate a team that a lot of people outside of Seattle are expecting to be very, very good once again. And we'll go through our predictions in a moment. But we've been out here year after year, with the exception of the pandemic year, and seen different crowds. And you always get a vibe, you know, kind of. It always seemed before that there was more hope. It was a hopeful crowd. Like, hey, hopefully this is the year and they're going to find it. And hopefully now this is the year. It's not about, are they going to get to the postseason? How far are they going to go?
Yeah, it's about expectations. I have to say this, though, about Mariner fans. And same thing with we got the countdown to open the gates.
Yeah. It's almost like New Year's Eve.
It
right?
was. The ball dropped.
I was waiting for confetti.
And they said, happy baseball.
Is that what they said, happy baseball?
Yeah. Last year, I think, was it last year? Yeah, where there was a couple with the Houston Astros.
Oh, yeah, that was brave.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's dumb or brave.
Well, I think that they were actually just trying to get under your skin because they were in the line closest to us.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is a big crowd. This is certainly more than we've ever seen, but they've always been pretty good.
Yeah, opening day always sells out. This one sold out really quickly.
Yeah.
And I believe Saturday is sold out because that's Julio bobblehead day or night. Is that a day or a night game? I can't remember. Night game?
Yeah.
So either way, Julio bobblehead, that's going to be huge. That's sold out. Tomorrow is Lefko's cross body bag night, which everybody's a big fan of. That's coming up tomorrow. But yeah, four game series with Cleveland, and I think they're back in Cleveland next week. I think we're going to see a lot of this team quickly to start the season. But yeah, just a huge crowd, everybody excited to get in, a big countdown to get through the gates, and everybody ready to get seated and watch this team hopefully work their way into an even better season. So that brings us to our predictions, Dave. Our predictions on what we expect, and we took this, you know, full disclosure, taking a page out of the book of the Seattle Times. They published their predictions, I think it was yesterday. They had Adam Jude, they had Ryan Divish and Larry Stone and Matt Calkins, and they all did predictions. So just to borrow their format, we'll go through. Now, AL West, I sent you all my predictions last night. So you've had some time to think about this. How do you see the AL West when the season is done? How do you see the standings looking?
Yeah, I still think that the Astros are going to win the West. I do. I think they're going to make it as a wild card, but the Astros are just, they're just too good. But I think the Mariners are going to be a close second. And then, you know, after that, I'd go Rangers, Angels, A's. I think you have Astros, Mariners, Angels. Then
yeah.
Rangers and A's. I don't know. That Texas kind of worries me. I mean, they spent some money in the offseason. They look like they're trying to make a run for it a little bit. So
I give the Angels just a little bit more because you've got arguably the two best players in all of baseball on that roster. And then Anthony Rendon coming back.
Yeah.
We'll see. I was about to say hopefully, like we're talking, not hopefully, but he comes back, and then, you know, they've added to the pitching, and you've got Shohei. I think they've got to be better than, certainly than the A's, and the Rangers, I think, have DeGrom and people like, but DeGrom is, he's one of those guys that you feel like is a pitch away from another stint on the IL.
Yeah, well, the reason why I discount the Angels a little bit is because of that. You have two of the best baseball players in the world. Why can't you win?
Oh, there's the confetti.
Oh,
there's, yeah. Now we just need some of those party favors, the blowers, the,
yeah,
you know,
like
all of that stuff. Yeah, this is like New Year's out here.
Yeah, it's very cool, man. These helicopters flying over, whole thing. Feels like we're under attack. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah.
fat guy put his T-shirt on. We're good to go.
That's good.
Somebody, can we read the text, Mike? Can you read the tweet?
I was going to save it for mean text. We can do it again.
Yeah, that's all right. This is good for two.
So took a picture of your favorite guy.
Mike did,
who
yeah.
was in the window.
The local sit-up champion.
Yes, yeah, so that's important context. The local sit-up champion.
Local,
and
national.
We have Josh Campa on Twitter responding, Wyman looks like he's in mid-season form.
Yeah, that
that's a solid line.
Wait. Very, very well done.
Yeah, that
very
deserves well to be unveiled quickly. That's a solid, solid line.
He did
line
properly shame the guy, I think. Or someone did.
No, because he put the T-shirt on. He put the T-shirt on, then he came back, and he was kind of standing there like, yeah, that's me. I decided to put the T-shirt on.
I'm telling you, I thought the drawers were next. I thought he was just going to go full glory right there.
Nobody wins.
Nobody wins can't with that, Dave. It. Nobody wins. All right, so you gave your AL West. I've got it Astros, Mariners, Angels, Rangers, A's.
But doesn't that make sense, though, with the Angels? I mean, how is it that you have the two best players in the world and you can't win?
They can't pitch. Outside of Ohtani, their pitching's been brutal. And then Trout got hurt last year. Rendon got hurt. So it makes sense why they struggled. By the way, I read this today. There's only two teams in all of baseball that do not send their radio crew on the road. They call all of their games from their home park.
Really?
One of them being the Angels. The other is Toronto Blue Jays.
See, I would have said, like, the Reds and the A's.
Or the Pirates.
Cheap.
Yeah,
they don't spend any money.
Well, and Artie Moreno spent a truckload on his payroll, but apparently that he doesn't want that to trickle down to sending the radio team on the road.
You know who liked the pandemic when we were doing that?
Mike Blowers.
Blow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
he likes staying local. He doesn't mind no travel. So
well, he travels a lot more than you do in football, but I got to say, the away games, I did miss that, and I remember getting, you know, pictures and texts and stuff from the guys on the road that I hang out with, usually, which is Pearson and Schneider or whatever, and they're like, oh, dang, I wish I was there, but the 30-minute ride home instead of the 4-hour plane ride, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but sleeping in your own bed, your own food, all that. There's an upside to it. I get it. All right, so who's your AL and NL MVPs?
I didn't really pick an NL MVP, Bob. So I just went with yours, Mookie Betts.
You just went with mine. All right.
No,
we're both going to be right or we're both going to be wrong.
Yeah,
on that.
Exactly. This is kind of like for the Final Four. It's like, I'll throw Marquette in there too.
Yeah, I was looking at different predictions, and I would say the favorite pick I saw just from national writers was Manny Machado in the National League. But I just love Mookie Betts as a player. He's an everything guy. Defense, offense. He's got on base. He can hit for. He's got some pop. He does it all. I think he's playing on the best team in the National League. That was my rationale for him. I went with Mike Trout in the AL. Bounce back year. Suffered that calf injury last year. He's still as good as it gets when healthy. You know, one of the greatest players we've ever seen. So I predicted him as the AL MVP.
Yeah.
Who'd you have in the AL?
Well, in the AL, it's Julio. Going all, you know, Mr. Mariner with my Mariner hat. But I think he can be. And like I said, I just think he's got a lot more tools than, I mean, I guess Trout, he seems like an old man now. Mike Trout does, but I just think Julio's poised to take off. He also is a guy that just makes it look easy. We were talking about Aaron Judge earlier. So, yeah, that's who I like.
Okay.
Aaron,
all right.
Go on.
As far as the AL and NL champs, I went with the Yankees in the American League. I think that's who the Mariners may end up losing to in the ALCS, and the Yankees will move on to the World Series. And I've got the Dodgers making it from the National League. So a Dodgers-Yankees World Series matchup is what I've got.
Yeah, I like, unfortunately, I think it's going to be Houston and then Atlanta.
How dare you?
I know. I do think, I still think that it's going to be a while. You're going to have to wait that one out. But, man, if the Mariners are able to hang with them and just hang in there, it just seems like at every position, like, where's their weak point? You know, it's tough. So anyway, yeah, I got Astros and Braves.
Okay, and then who's your champ? I've got the Dodgers winning it all, which leads to my Mookie Betts MVP.
You know, figuring
everything goes right for them. They've got one of the biggest payrolls in all of baseball. That team is incredibly deep, and that's who I went with.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Mariners. Oh, wait, you have to pick somebody from before. Yeah, sorry.
just every,
I'm going to go
every category, Mariners.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Braves.
So you got the Braves. So we both have a National League team. We skipped over Cy Young. We didn't do Cy Young.
Yeah.
Cy Young, I went with Shohei in the American League, and Julio Urias from the Dodgers. There's a Dodgers theme. I just think that team is stacked. If they can stay healthy, that is a stacked team out there. So went with Julio for the Dodgers winning the NL Cy Young, and Shohei going with the AL Cy Young.
Yeah, I'm going to go Alcantres with the National League. And then
he was a popular pick.
Yeah, Robbie Ray. I'm very interested to see that. Why are we talking so much about what a great spring Robbie Ray has had, and just watching him up close, and you know, he was a Cy Young winner 2 years ago, and now we're talking about him like it's this big revelation in spring training. I can't wait to see this.
You know, so you got Robbie Ray winning again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's going to repeat 2 years later. Is that right? Was it 2021?
Yeah.
So. Yep. Yeah, I'm very curious to see him. You know, going down to spring training, we talked to Matt Brash. What a great kid, by the way. But that was the guy I was really excited to see down there. Didn't really get a chance to see him because, you know, he played in the World Baseball Classic. But yeah, I think Robbie Ray is my most intriguing. Because like I said earlier, I think the starting rotation for the Mariners is just being undersold. You just look from top to bottom. And I think it was Jerry that told us that he feels like our bottom of the of the lineup or the rotation would probably be mid rotation for most other teams.
Well, he said this is the best starting staff he's ever been around, in his opinion. Now, obviously, he's biased, but yeah, I agree with him in the sense that, you know, we saw some of these other rankings, you know, 1 through 10 best rotations of baseball, and every publication's doing it, so there's a different number out there everywhere. But we saw a couple that had them 18th, 16th, and you're thinking, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
What is it you could be looking at to put them that low? That doesn't even make sense.
Well, and somebody had texted in something about the top. He said 16 as far as Vegas odds, that of the top 16.
Oh, for Cy Young, yeah.
There's four pitchers that are in the Cy Young odds anyway. It's actually the top 18.
Mm-hmm.
But
way off.
Yeah, but it's still, they had four of them in there, right?
Well, to have four, think about it. You got five per staff if you go five starters, assuming most go with a five-man rotation. Some will go six. But just assume five per team. You got 30 teams, you know, 15 American League teams. And you've got four of those top 18 are Mariners.
Yeah.
That is... as much information as you need to come to some sort of conclusion about where their starting staff should rank. And if you've got them 18th as a group or 16th, you're not paying attention. I mean, what do you even say about that? Just to round out the predictions, just Mariners outlook for the season. I had them with 92 wins, losing to the Yankees in the ALCS.
Yeah.
What do you have?
I'm going with 93 wins. Best year of my life.
You always have to one-up me.
Yeah, that too. Also, best year of my life, I think. 1993, got married.
What?
Yeah, all that.
98 wins, somebody from the line is calling for. 98, all right.
Boy.
I hope he's right. I hope that person's right.
He's got a great swing. And now he's doing the Aaron Rodgers.
Now he's got the championship belt on. All right. Feeling confident about that. Hey, listen, anybody who's going over our totals, I want them to be right. I'm more than happy to be wrong with 92. I hope 92 seems negative at the end of the season. We're going, boy, really undershot that. They won 98, 99 games. We'll see what they do. But, listen, as long as they can get themselves in a position, I want to see home games here in the playoffs. I want to see them, you know, really take that next step. This is a build. I don't expect it. It'd be great if a World Series happened, obviously. Am I betting on it or expecting it? Not realistically this year, but it doesn't mean it can't happen, certainly. And especially if some of these teams in front of them, like the Astros, continue to deal with injuries, and they start the season with some injuries. So we'll see how much of an impact that has for them.
Yeah, don't even mention injuries. I mean, that's the one thing. If you get all excited for a team like this, and they're built really well, and you could see the excitement in Jerry DePoto's face when he was up here talking to us. But the one thing, like you said, instant derailment is, you know, the injuries.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, it was one other thing that I sent you guys last night was I saw on MLB.com they did what they called a bold prediction for every team, you know, and so I just highlighted the one for the Mariners. And it's, I don't know how bold it is, because we've heard it from a couple people now. We heard it from John Morosi. Seattle will win the AL West was the bold prediction. That was the bold prediction. The Mariners winning the AL West. And I don't think it's unrealistic by any stretch. I don't know if I would bet on it in Vegas, but if at the end of the season they win, are we going, wow, I didn't see that coming? No. I mean, and that, again, speaks to the growth and speaks to the expectation around this team that if they were to win the AL West, you wouldn't be stunned. You wouldn't be, you know, I felt like it was more surprising that the Seahawks made the playoffs last year. That I didn't expect. Most people were expecting a losing season. This is going to be a rebuild. That's more surprising to me than the Mariners winning the AL West.
Yeah, well, and remember last year we were doing who makes the playoffs first, the Seahawks or the Mariners, and they both did.
Yeah.
The only reason the Mariners won is because their season was earlier, but nobody expected that from the Seahawks. But, yeah, we kind of did it with the Mariners, and they got in. And again, you know, I say this a lot, but I say this more than I tell the story about my VCR. Somebody said that it was the thousandth time that I've told the VCR story.
Oh, a texter said that?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. But but going back to, you know, the Seahawks being, you know, being the ones that I feel like, you know, they had a bunch of young guys, and that's something Bumpus called me out on. It's like, yeah, you can't trust rookies, and but it all worked out for them. But man, this has a totally different feeling. Yes, I'm just totally distracted right now.
Yeah, trying to figure out who everybody is that's waving. You're going, I think I know that person. Maybe I don't know that person.
Yeah,
yeah. A lot of
what's up, guys?
A lot of familiar faces and some not so familiar, but friendly nonetheless. So yeah, we've got the line. If you're not out here, we've got the line to get in the stadium rolling right in front of us.
Yeah.
So we're seeing everybody walking into the stadium, and you see the excitement. You see the crowds milling about, coming from over by the Lumen Field, coming from that direction. This is mobbed. This is, you know, the coolest opening day that I've ever been a part of was actually in St. Louis, because out there you saw, like it is here, but it spread through the whole city. Like, streets were shut down. It was day off. It was like a national holiday.
Really?
People were tailgating. You saw campers. You saw barbecues. You saw, it was unlike anything I had seen. I've been at Cubs opening day. I've been at White Sox opening day. Angels, Dodgers, Mariners. I'd never seen anything like that. That's a holiday out there. Nobody was at work. Everybody in the streets, and just pandemonium out there.
What, when the Rams were there and they were
winning? Didn't quite have that celebration going on. They were a bad team when I was out there.
But, you know, in what was it, 2000, 2001, when they were good?
99, 2000, yeah.
Yeah. Did they overtake baseball, or is that just...
I wasn't out there then. Oh. I was in Chicago those years, so I'm not sure. I'm assuming that was a big deal out there. Yeah. But baseball's religion in St. Louis, and this feels like Seattle is on the verge of becoming a baseball town, much more so than maybe they have been. I mean, you see it, whether it's on our texts or just TV ratings, radio ratings. You've just seen the interest grow. Certainly back-to-back winning seasons, 90 wins goes a long way. Breaking the playoff drought goes a really long way. Having a superstar like Julio Rodriguez. So you feel that excitement bubbling and people wanting to be a part of it in some way.
You know, it's funny. I know that you last year was the No Excuses Tour.
Yeah.
The one before that was what, They're All Complicit or something like that?
Well, that's... No, that was the Astros.
I know that was the Astros.
Yeah, They're All Complicit. That should have been their slogan for the year. We're all complicit. I couldn't sell them on it, Dave. They didn't seem that eager to run that one out there.
They should have to wear a shirt that said, "We all knew."
Hashtag, yeah, we all knew, or we're all complicit. Yeah. That'd be a perfect shirt. Yeah, but yeah, last year was No Excuses.
No, but yeah, I mean, I guess why I haven't been that, you know, pounding the table on getting free agents in here is just because I love the fact that most of these guys are homegrown, that they got through their... And the whole story of when Jerry got here, that the whole farm system was kind of in a shambles. Mm-hmm. I think some publications had them ranked as 30th, and just
the cupboards
reminder,
were bare.
Huh?
The cupboards were bare.
I was going to say, just a reminder, there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. So, and then, you know, they built it up to arguably, well, they were certainly top five at least. So I love that they have, you know, they've grown these guys like Cal Raleigh and like, you know, all the young guys, Logan Gilbert. I mean, remember talking about the draft and everything, it just seems so far away. And back in 17, 18, 19, and now these guys are, all of it's starting to come to fruition. And I just love that they're the guys that they drafted and developed in their system, and now they're becoming stars.
Yeah, I mean, it's it speaks to the fact that they've been so successful with those guys because their ranking in the minor league systems have taken a hit because all those guys have come up. Right. The guys that put them in that number one, number two, number three spot, depending on which publication, you know, people like George Kirby, people like Logan Gilbert and Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez, they're all up with the big club now. So you take away all that talent, their ranking in the minor league systems has gone down. Now they're rebuilding. Now we're seeing highlights of some of these guys out of spring training. We're learning their names, and we see a big 6'7", 240-pound teenager out there smacking the ball that they call Baby Alvarez, Baby Yordan, out there. And you got Celestine out there as well, another guy that people are excited about that are teenagers at this point that are going to bring that ranking up as they develop too. So it's exciting to see what's in the pipeline outside of the ones that are more mature and could be here. You know, Bryce Miller, Emerson Hancock, some of those guys, Harry Ford. You've got a lot to look forward to with this minor league system, and to see what's graduated, so to speak, and knocked it back down out of the top 10 and whatever publication. You've got the reserves coming. It feels like they've got the cycle happening, kind of the way the Astros have.
Yeah, and I think Jerry DePoto, when we interviewed him down there, he said something about going to the backfield and watching some of these young guys that we're kind of forgetting now. We're obviously, you know, talking about the guys that we are going to see this year, but he was pretty excited about some of the young guys, the names that you just mentioned.
Yeah, well, and there's plenty of reason to be. And when you see, I know, like Divish tweeted out some videos of these guys in the cage, and you're just going, Mike. Goodness. And you, I think you actually hear Divish and a couple of them go, oh my God, once they made contact. So
Divish doesn't usually gush like that.
No, he's not he doesn't gush.
No,
he's loath to gush. Yes. So yeah, he was blown away by that, but lots to look forward to with this team coming up. We'll continue with some predictions with our picks for guys to have breakout seasons as we continue live from the left field gate outside of T-Mobile Park. It is opening day for your Seattle Mariners. Wyman and Bob, right here. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Helps if I put the right headsets on, Dave. Just wondering why I couldn't hear myself.
Yeah, no more giving me a hard time for not turning my mic button on.
Oh, well, mine was on. I just had the wrong headsets on.
Either way, we weren't hearing you.
Oh, goodness. We are live from T-Mobile Park outside the left field gate as people are pouring into the stadium. Sold out opening night for your Seattle Mariners. Game one of their four-game series against the Cleveland Guardians. And lots of expectations we've been talking about. By the way, M's taking on the Guardians tonight, and the T-Mobile Park roof, I'm going to say it's going to be open. Got a couple of threatening clouds out here, but so far we haven't seen any rain at all. It's a little chilly, but I'm going to say that roof will be open.
Don't look at the number. What's the capacity?
I couldn't see your – there's such a glare on your screen.
Full capacity T-Mobile Park, Bob.
47?
47,943. You're way off.
I was way off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a big mirror right there. I can't see anything on your screen, so you don't have to put your hand there. But I'm going to say that the roof will be open. Maybe it could close later in the game, but I think they'll start the game with the roof open, and that's the Mariners' roof report covered by Acton's Quality Roofing. All right, so is there a?
I think it's pronounced roofing, Bob.
No, it's not, and those that do are doing it wrong. Who's going to break out this year? Who's a breakout player?
Well, and I saw Mike put down a pitcher and a position player. One of the things we haven't really talked about that much is the bullpen. And I think it's really interesting, and I know everybody's making, you know, fun of me, which they like to do either way, whether I have something or not. But Matt Brash, I was talking about him. And that whole story about, like, you could develop into a starter, but if you want to go to the WBC, it's going to be bullpen for you. And he's like, okay, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting, but how the bullpen comes together, and specifically Matt Brash, I'm going to go with him. I don't think that's necessarily a dark horse pick, though. I mean, everybody's talking about.
They don't really have a dark horse when it comes to pitching, do they?
Yeah, not really. I mean, everything's been talked about. I mean,
Sewald can't break. We've seen him. We've seen, obviously, everybody in the starting rotation has had success, so you can't really call it a breakout year, so to speak.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting story, though, because, you know, Brash with you know, supposedly this historical MLB historic pitch as far as the break on a slider. I'm really, really curious. We talked to him. He's a really nice kid. He's got a weird middle finger, apparently.
Looked normal, though, when he showed it to us.
It's a little long. I thought it was a little long. But, yeah, I think, you know, for him, as far as and just in general, the bullpen, I think, will be interesting to watch and see how that pans out. I think that, you know, Andrés Muñoz, what did you say? There's like a 15-mile, 16-mile-per-hour difference. Doing his
changeup and his fastball.
So, I mean, he's going to make some people look stupid. But, yeah, I think as far as a pitcher goes, Brash. Is Cal, I mean, if you pick Cal, is that like a breakout season? I mean, he had a pretty good season. He just didn't hit for average last year.
Yeah, his on-base wasn't great and his average wasn't great, but he had obviously crucial, to say the least, moments.
Yeah.
He hit for power. He led all catchers in home runs, and amongst catchers, he was one of the better hitters. But just if we're just talking how he compares to everybody else, I guess he could break out. You know, it's, I don't know, Kelnick would be the popular pick for a breakout player, offensively speaking. He'd probably pitching. I don't think there is a dark horse. I don't, you know, Trevor Gott. I mean, he's the only unknown in that bullpen. Everybody else is exactly the same as last year. You know, Topa got sent down, so there aren't any new faces in that bullpen except for that. Eric Swanson's out. Trevor Gott is in. I don't know if he's going to be the breakout. I would say this. I would say, and it's not breakout, but I would say that Robbie Ray returns to form. How about that? It's not a breakout, but he will look like the guy that they signed more. And not that last year he was really bad or anything, but I think he was a little less than what people were expecting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say he returns to form. He's closer to the guy that we saw in Toronto prior to coming to Seattle.
Yeah. I've talked about I think he – well, I had him as my AL
Your Cy Young Award winner, yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of interesting. You're right. It's funny. When they got Luis Castillo, I was like, wow, that's just an amazing 1-2 punch. But up until that point, Robbie Ray hadn't been – I mean, I remember he had a really good outing, and they lost like 1-0 or 2-0 or something like that. So he didn't have any offensive support. But it wasn't like he just blew your skirt up the entire time from beginning to end. There were moments. And then remember he got lit up pretty good in that at the beginning of the year, the way he started out in the Chicago White Sox rainout game.
That's right.
Wasn't. So, yeah, it was kind of an auspicious start for him. And, you know, it just he never really had that zip, you know, that you were expecting from a guy who won the Cy Young a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and Teoscar was his personal demon. Teoscar Hernandez lighting him up. And then obviously Alvarez in the playoffs, you know, that's our lasting image is Robbie Ray coming out of the bullpen and just firing a meatball right down the middle and it being deposited into the stands. So I'm going to say he gets closer to what we thought was coming over from Toronto. And in terms of a position player, it'd be great if it's Kelnick. I really hope it is Kelnick. I'd like to see JP break out from what he was last year as well. That's another guy that's not really breakout because we've seen him be very good. We've seen him be a very good player at this level, so he's not a surprise breakout player, but I think he can have such a dramatic impact on this lineup if he can be that guy who's just getting on base, doesn't have to steal. He's not a base stealer. You look at his numbers, he's not close to it. He's not a particularly fast guy that you expect to be that guy, but he is a guy who can, you know, go use all fields. He is a guy who can get on base. It just didn't happen last year the way you'd hoped, and if they're going to stick with Julio in the leadoff spot, I hope that this is a breakout year for JP in that way that he returns to form. So two guys who don't technically fall in that breakout category, but would like to see them both return to form.
Yeah, and, you know, Kelnick is really the one that hasn't consistently got it done in the regular season anyway. The only thing we have to go on that's really exciting with him, there's not been a sustained stretch of time, is spring training. That's it. That's all we have to go on. So if he's really the, because like JP has done it, you know, all the guys we're talking about, they've done it. Are you happy with Suarez if he has the same kind of year?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I think I can't remember his error numbers, but He's just got an absolute cannon for an arm.
Yeah, he defensive. His offense wasn't a surprise. I think his offense was kind of as build. Hits for power, strikes out a ton. I mean, that's exactly what he did.
You knew that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah. So in that instance, you know, we had the Reds beat writer on at the time, and he talked to us about what he did well and didn't do well. His defense was by far and away the pleasant surprise, because we looked at numbers and went, oh, those don't look that great. And his offense, he was coming off a down year, but the guy was telling us, yeah, you're going to love him. Just couldn't have a better guy in the clubhouse. He's going to hit bombs. He's the guy who hits for power, strikes out a hole, but there's a lot of swing and miss there. Problem is in the field. He talked about it. Remember, he said he got a little bit bigger. His range isn't quite what it was. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, this could be rough. And talk about a pleasant surprise at third base. I mean, he was really good last year. And, yeah, I mean, just an absolute hose as far as an arm. I mean, he's got a cannon. So, yeah, he was the surprise wasn't the offense. It was his defense. And hopefully, if he can duplicate last year, I'm more than good with that.
Yeah, I just remember when he came in, and I remember you weren't too thrilled about his errors early on. And then, you know, we see him with the hair wide one side, and you're like, oh, boy, what's this guy about? You know? And, you know, and it was all for his children.
Yeah.
You know, that's his little girls liked when he did something crazy. I haven't seen if he's done anything crazy with his hair this year.
Well, you said something about his eyebrows or something.
Yeah, I
hadn't noticed
where
that.
Where he shaved the notches in there.
Okay.
Or as I called them, slots.
Slots.
Yeah. But, he turned out to just be an awesome guy. I don't really mind the strikeouts as long as he's hitting for power.
Yeah.
And he's great defensively, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as the strikeouts aren't a big deal, but it does depend on where they're showing up. Is he striking out with two outs and runners on second and third?
Yeah.
And you're down a run or you're tied? Well, that strikeout is much more punitive than him coming up in the you know, top of the second inning or bottom of the second with nobody on. It just depends on the situation where those strikeouts are happening. But by and large, yeah, that's like a lot of other players we talk about, cost of doing business. And his defense and the pop and his presence in that clubhouse made up for it. So if he can duplicate that, I'm on board with that. All right, coming up, our first chance to discuss a Mariners lineup this season. We'll break it all down as we continue live from the left field gate of T-Mobile Park. People are filing into the stadium. A sold-out game one of their four-game series with the Cleveland Guardians to open the season. We'll be back right here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Should we name the guy, the naked guy up in the window?
Did you name him?
Should we?
The naked, is he naked now? did the pants come off?
No, but he was naked from the waist up.
What do you want to name him?
I don't know. Maybe our texters can get involved. What do we name the naked guy who was in the window across the street? Don't worry, folks. He put his T-shirt on and he went back inside. But it was quite a sight to behold.
I'm going to call him Willie.
Willie?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Ned. N-E-D for some reason.
Yeah, he was putting on a show earlier, showing off the physique and all the hard work he'd clearly put into it as he was standing in front of the window here with these assembled masses filing into T-Mobile Park for opening night of the Seattle Mariners season. And we've got the pregame show coming up at the top of the hour. We will turn you over to that in a few moments, but got the opening day lineup here. So it reads this way. They've got Julio Rodriguez leading off, playing center field. Colton Wong hitting second at second base. Ty France hitting third at first base. Teoscar Hernandez playing right field, hitting cleanup, followed by Cal Raleigh. He plays catcher, Dave, in case you didn't know. Gino Suarez behind him, and then your 7, 8, 9, Kelnick in the 7 spot. Your DH is Tommy La Stella. I'm not sure what to expect there. We saw very little of him at a spring training because he was dealing with an injury, so I really don't know what to expect there at all. And then JP Crawford in the 9 spot with Luis Castillo as your starting pitcher tonight.
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of discouraging looking at JP at the 9 spot, but really really hope that that guy, he's such a great leader. Well, that's the thing you hear from everybody.
That's actually a good spot. If he can get that on base going, that's perfect.
That's
because
true.
He's hitting, technically, once you go through lineup, he's hitting right in front of Julio coming up. So if he can get himself on base in a consistent way, him in the ninth spot and Julio coming up in the leadoff spot, that's huge. You just need JP to, you know, pick up his end of the bargain there.
The one guy I just really have not paid that much attention to is the DH, Estella.
Well, there's not been much to pay attention to.
Yeah.
I mean, he really didn't get much run out there in spring training. In fact, I don't know if Dylan Moore were healthy. I'm not sure if LaStella's making the team or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a fair question to wonder because there wasn't anything you looked at and said, okay, I see it. I see what they're doing there. He's had success, but he's not in that part of his career right now. So hopefully, he can find it here. And I don't know, how far along he is with the injury and things like that. So we'll see. But he appears, at least for the short run, out of the gates, he's going to be part of that rotation at DH.
Yeah, and then, my guy Cal Raleigh, I think if he can just hit for average, that would be, what was it, 210 last year, I believe?
What did he hit? Average I'm not as concerned about as much as his on base. I just like to see these guys get on base, whether they're working a walk, whether they're, in Ty France's case, getting plunked. However you get on base is how you get on base. But, especially if we're talking about the guys at the bottom of the order, just because that was the other conversation we had about the leadoff spot. Hey, is Julio the right guy for that spot? And not because he can't do it, because I don't think it matters where he's at in the lineup. He's going to hit. That's just what he does. You just want him to do damage. You want him to come up with as much possibility as often as possible. And if the guys at the bottom of the order are struggling, then that affords an opportunity for the opposing pitcher to pitch around him and get him on first base. Maybe they choose to walk him rather than give up a double or a home run. Maybe they look at it as, all right, that's the cost of doing business with Julio. I'm going to try to pitch around him, get him to chase. If he doesn't, fine. We'll put him on first, and I'll deal with the rest of the lineup.
Yeah. Well, and certainly the 7th, 8th, 9th is going to be one to keep your eye on. But, I think, and I'm just, it's not like I'm excited to get to the bullpen. Hopefully Castillo goes, 8 or whatever. But how this bullpen develops, I feel like that can be really special again. And, they got all the fireworks and everything with the Los Bomberos thing going on. So I remember being at the game, at one of the games, and it was a night game, obviously, and the lights go out and everything, and I didn't even know that it was going to happen, and it was kind of freaky because I was like, did we just have a major power outage? And then it was really
running
cool.
For cover.
Yeah.
You're looking for a safe place.
Yeah, but I mean, and I didn't feel safe, Bob.
Yeah.
I complained afterwards. It didn't make me feel safe. But yeah, then, the lights come on. And I just think it was very well done. Everything the Mariners do is just, they do production, things like that. Is just, it's always cool. So I would imagine, can you imagine if you're part of that and when you go running out there as a bullpen pitcher?
Yeah, that's going to fire you
with
up.
With that going on, I mean, I feel like you'd almost have to, calm yourself down. You can't get too fired up.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, as a closer, just coming out to some music that fires you up has got to be the coolest thing in the world. Like when Mariano Rivera used to come out to Enter Sandman and Trevor Hoffman came out to Hell's Bells, you'd hear that gong and hear that, and it's just ominous sound that just get the crowd fired up and the guitar kicks in. And shoot, Brandon League, when he was here, he used to come out to Slipknot. So it was, it was not for everybody, but very heavy stuff Tom Murphy would appreciate.
It was for you and Tom Murphy only.
We would appreciate it.
You
would
have chased everybody out of there.
Yeah, and then you got Edwin Diaz coming out to, what's the guy's name?
Timmy Trumpet.
Timmy Trumpet, yeah. So, everybody's got their thing, but it gets, the crowd buys into it. That's the beauty of it. This is the crowd gets excited the second they hear that music or whatever goes on for that particular closer. That's awesome. I love it because it's just electric. You just feel the charge in the crowd. So that's very cool.
What would you choose? You would have Slipknot, probably.
No, I don't know. I might go with something from our guys in Walking Papers, perhaps, or Alice in Chains, one of those. Yeah. When I they let us do walk-up music when I played in Dan Wilson's celebrity softball thing.
Oh, they
and
did.
And I was using Man in the Box from Alice in Chains then.
That is a good one.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty fun to have your name announced and then have walk-up music. But yeah, when they have that production at the stadium with the lights and everything, that is just awesome.
Keep pouring in. Holy moly.
Yeah, it's like there's something going on here. Opening night, that does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Jerry DePoto, John Stanton, and John Schneider, all joining us on the program. If you missed any of that, you can find it on the podcast page, seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that. And anything you missed during the show is right there waiting for you after the show each and every day. Click subscribe. You heard us say it repeatedly. We're trying to help
subscribe.
You
subscribe.
Yep, that's exactly right. Subscribe. It'll be right there on your phone or your computer, wherever, each and every day. Have a great night, everybody. Go Mariners. We're back tomorrow with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.